program was specially transcribed earlier for your enjoyment at this time.
Quiet, please. Quiet, please.
This is the fourth of a series of unusual dramatic stories written and directed by Willis Cooper and featuring Ernest Chappell. Today's story is called The Ticket Taker. I don't know where I am now. I've been wandering around for so long, I don't know where I am, all by myself. Nobody seems to know me at all. Only thing I know for sure is one of these days I'll run into him, and then it'll all be over. I keep listening for him. Every place I go, I keep listening for that jingling, the shuffling footsteps, and that whining voice. And I know I won't be ready for him when I do hear him. You know, you're never ready for the guy with the bad news. And he is bad news. I thought I heard something knock at the door. Did you hear it? Listen. Wait a minute. I have to be sure. Don't mind me, I'm always listening. You ever do that? Well, you know that. You get to hearing a lot of things. Mostly things you don't want to hear. Doc used to talk about hearing things at night. Doc was a Scotchman. He used to say, Scotchmen could hear things at night that other people couldn't. That guy could tell you stories that make your hair curl. I wish I hadn't listened to so many of them. There was a thing he used to say. I can't do that Scots dialect. It was about witches and warlocks and things that gangs bump in the neck. Things that gangs bump in the neck. I got my share of him, brother. I listened for him. Jock and Ruby and me. Sitting in that room in that house on Taylor Street in Chicago. Sitting there all day long with the window shades down and $22,418 there on the table. Sitting there all night long with one of us always awake with a rifle leaning against the window. I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and we'll be counting the money again. And the little red glow that came in the window from the neon light in the saloon across the street. I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And there'll be Jock's footsteps across the floor. And some old Scott's office.
But, you know, he's glad. Just in brief, just in red. Welcome to your door.
Shut up, will you?
Oh, did I wake you up, Ernest? I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking. Did you get me sleep then?
Just for a while.
No, I didn't talk.
See anybody?
Uh-huh. The lady stopped each side about 3 hours ago. But he was shooting for a woman. Now listen to him talking. The sun gets...
It'll be another hot day. What time is it, Jock?
Bye.
Wake up, Ruby.
Hey, water in there?
Yeah, yeah, we drop. I got thirsty in the neck.
Yeah, don't drink at all. Friday. Friday.
9.
Sit downstairs, Ruby, and see if the old lady's got the coffee ready.
Aye, and tell her to get the papers.
Yeah, have her get the papers, too. Tell her to get them. Oh, I want to get out of here.
Oh, save me off. Maybe this will be the thing.
I'll get carried away. When I leave, I want to leave for good. Go ahead, Ruby.
All right. How much longer do you think, Harry?
Not much, I hope.
Well, they got Booby in here.
You can't hold him. You know they haven't got anything on him.
If I was Booby, I'd want to stay in here.
You too. Keep your eye out that window.
No worries. I think we're getting away with it, aren't
we? Yes, sir. Oh, boy, I'm hot.
What in more ways than one, laddie? What in more ways than one?
That's a bad joke. That's a strictly no good joke. But it's true, we are hot. Hotting that $2 pistol. Frank Gaffney died yesterday at Passport Hospital in a row of bullet holes across his belly to safety. And if Frank's boys ever find out who did it, somebody's going to die the hard way. I'm glad to come back to the Archie. How close is Frank? But it's a laugh. Everybody knows Needy Brandreth was Frank's worst enemy. Needy shot off his mouth a lot of times about making Undertaker bait out of Frank. Needy oughtn't to drink so much. So what happens? Frank gets a roll of 45 caliber kisses across his front porch, and boom, everybody's hollering for Needy. It's even the cops go for it. And before you can say, Yoxie Marsh, Needy's in the can, Frankie's boys are looping and polishing cannons for Needy when he gets out. Oh, yes, he'll get out. Nobody can prove anything except he was Frank's worst enemy. And that's bad, especially when nobody saw Frank get embroidered. And all the time we're sitting in this room on Taylor Street with the shades down, and nobody knows we're in town. And we've got $22,418 on the table. All we got to do is wait. Wait till the cops call you, wait till the Lugans from back of the yard catch up with Dee Dee and give him that old Chicago farewell. We didn't even know Frank Gaffney. Old lady that sells flowers with the big fat thing running for him. Funny how flowers and lobsterlings get mixed up together in Chicago, ain't it? Remember Dee Dee Abandon? Had that flower shop across from Holy Lane? They moved him down among the trees a long time ago. And here's Frank Gaffney got flowers in the Anyway, you see, it's a squeeze deal. If we can hold out till Needy gets paid off for something he didn't do, the rumors will be satisfied, and they'll put the artillery away and figure it to be. And Ruby and Doc and me will take a very, very hard time for that $22,418, and everybody will be happy. The guys that paid us for the job, the cops, thank you, Mom. And us, we'll be happy. We could turn this into a banana. The door busted open.
I got this. When you come off the first, you get that slug right through your strapple. Tighten in the door, you do.
And shut the door, you jerk.
Look at the first.
Let's see. Goodbye, baby.
Yes, let me see.
Yeah. He knocked him off his hour after the cops came in. Running in the room and avenue. It's a long way from home, Rudy.
You've got me lads everywhere, Rudy.
They're all back here in the room, though.
What?
That's Rob's gun. They're finishing up a good next week.
But what will we get out of here, Rudy?
Any minute.
Any minute?
Wait another couple of days. Just to be on the safe side.
I have to get the 9 days on you, Ruby. One more day will only help you.
Just like it. papers. He'll be out soon enough.
You didn't put the window curtain up now, huh?
No. You're crazy, Jack. Well, the three men were well over here, Rudy. What happened to me?
Yes, no count the money again, Rudy. Found Dee Dee Brandy's under a tree in front of the dealer's house out on the north side. In Dee Dee's blood was what turned it into money again.
Well, we're talking to you in that room on Taylor Street. That's a good idea. We want to be fine.
We don't want to annoy anybody. We don't want to attract any attention. The guns of the gasoline mob talk awful loud. And while the room is still a bit of pain, now that Dee Dee's on his back in the cold room, we still have to remember before he picked up the money. One crack in a Wabash Avenue tavern. It could be our turn, Steve. So, like Doc said, we're the thing of evil and the DCC. We got a blow, but we got to take it easy. And if I have to keep Chicago, then I'll be. So we cut the cards to see who goes first.
Who would have cut?
Jack of Diamonds.
Goodness, please.
And he's Ruby. Ruby is going to go first. Jack and I look at each other, and Ruby doesn't see us. Ruby can go first. Ruby can be the eager beaver. Ruby can be the beast. Hmm? Well, I don't mind waiting another day or two. If Ruby makes the grade, all right. If he doesn't, now, you see what I mean. She was in her. So now it's night. Ruby counted the money for the last time, and we split it three ways, and he matched the extra $2 so it didn't come out even. Then Ruby won, and he fell fine. It was 9 o'clock when I went to the doctor. And it was 10 o'clock when I was killed. Walking around here in the street. It was 11. Midnight on the top of the walk pad. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning when we opened the door and started downstairs.
It's still all crazy.
Wasn't very smart of us, I suppose, when we figured how we stood out there in that old house so long just to be sure we'd get away alive. But talking makes people cocky sometimes. We figured we needed some air. It wouldn't be right to let a pal walk out alone. Besides, it was only over to the Garfield Park Yelp station at Hobson Street for Jockey News. Ruby was going to take the L there and ride out to Cicero Avenue and then grab a streetcar south to the airport.
I've got off a couple of blocks this time to the airport so I can kind of take it in case if anybody's in or not.
Well, there won't be anybody, Ruby.
You're all set now, Ruby?
Sure, yes, sure. I'll be on Earth Flight 24410. By the time you guys wake up, I'll be in New York.
You mean it's a dead place next Thursday afternoon?
Boy, New York. And see, you don't go getting lost. I've never been in an airplane before. Put the things back up.
Well, don't forget the name you're using either.
Mr. Masterson. Mr. Bruce, the Masterson of the one time. Something nobody asked me about this name. I've only ever been there.
You don't talk so much, Mr. Masterson.
I'm happy, Jack.
Yeah? Tell us about that in New York, lad.
Mr. Masterson.
Go. What's the name?
What's all this for?
I'm in trouble.
Would you cut? Over here in the door.
The only factors are here with the police door. The three of us huddled in that thick left office and sweat. The streetlight half a block away from the back of the truck. The only sound in the thick city night was a lonesome whistle of an X-ray. Trying to make an average 3 miles away. Right under the shadows it came. And now I can never forget the sound of his shuffling footsteps and the jingle of the stuff he carried. A harmless old man in a broken cap and a long overcoat that trailed the ground. Chicago weather in midsummer, and a heavy overcoat buffed into his scrawny neck. padding along an inch of darkness. Three of us hiding something in the doorway. That's what we felt like two. We waited for him to pass. He didn't pass us. Straight to the shadowy doorway, the old man came. I was sure he couldn't see us in the dark. But his vacant eyes he turned toward us were sharper than I thought. I thought, too, that I felt a breath of cold air as he stopped, wagging his ancient head from side to side. I thought, too, of warlocks, witches, and the things that go bump in the night that Doc was always talking about. The old man whined at
one of you gentlemen going on the elevator.
How did he know that?
I know one of you gentlemen going on the elevator.
Who was he? How did he know? Was he?
What do you want, old man?
You're not the one going on the elevator, sir.
Here, old man, get up off it. Go ahead and go to your bed.
I can't, sir. I've got work to do. This isn't the gentleman either.
He was looking at me, ignoring the two bits the doc held up.
You're the gentleman.
Who? Me?
I'll have your ticket, if you'll please, sir.
Ticket? What ticket?
Your ticket, please.
I haven't got any ticket, old man. You don't buy tickets in the elevator.
You've got a ticket, sir. You have to have a ticket.
Yes, old man. I tell you, I didn't need it, Ruby. Here comes a train. There won't be another for an hour.
Okay, sir. I'm going.
I'll have to have your ticket, sir.
Get out of here, old man. You haven't got a ticket. What are you, nuts?
You've got a ticket, sir. Look in your pockets. I have to have your ticket.
Get out of the way.
In the right-hand pocket, sir.
Tell you.
That's it, sir. Thank you very much. Now I'll just punch it for you so it's all right. You can go now, sir.
Take a quick baby. We'll take care of the old fool. Good luck, sir.
Look, I don't know where that spirit came from.
Easy, old man.
Let's go
along.
I'll see you first. Go on, go on.
Well, I guess
it's
all right.
Yeah,
he's gone.
Now, old man.
Hey. Old man. Andy. Where'd he go?
There wasn't any old man. Doc and I stood there on the deserted street all by ourselves with the roar of the L train easing away westward in the early morning with Ruby on his way home. There wasn't anybody there but the two of us. Then there was a bakery wagon two blocks down the street. There was a girl coming down the steps of the elevator station. And the L train banging its way westward blocks away. That's all. I noticed the way Doc glanced at me when we passed under the streetlight on the way home. I was looking at him the same way. We didn't say a word to each other all the way back to Taylor Street. I guess we were both taking the same thing. Maybe it would be white when we did it. Maybe that old man was one of the Gaston mob. Maybe they hadn't been satisfied knocking off Needy. How did that old guy know one of us was going someplace on the elevator? How did he know which was the right one? We stalled quite a while before we went up to the room. I'm not yellow. That means it was Doc. But neither one of us wanted to be the first one to go in the room. We finally went in. We crawled down the hallway on our hands. I reached up in the dark and unlocked the door. Then we stayed down on the floor so as not to make a good target. He didn't need to go through all that routine. There wasn't anybody in the room. We didn't sleep. Doc stepped with the windows of the sawed-off shotgun. After a while, he said,
"If that was putting a finger on the ribby, that was awful well done, Harry."
I didn't see anybody around.
Thank God he didn't see anybody around. And the old lady put the finger on him, perhaps.
We got the news from the paper. We heard the kids down the street holler an extra. Doc and I looked at each other without saying anything. You know what we thought. We thought the headlines would be something like "Ghastly Mob Blast Gunman." With Ruby's picture on the front page. That wasn't the headline, though. The big story was about an airliner that crashed on the takeoff at Municipal Airport at 4:10. Everybody on board was killed. And the name at the head of the passenger list was J.P. Masterson of Des Moines, Iowa.
Is there something wanting?
Listen to him. I guess it wasn't. I've got the niggers on all around after everything that's happened.
I think it comes from the first.
Well, sure I'm alone. No, Doctor.
Didn't I tell you about Doc?
I was talking about maybe the time frame. Doc and I decided to take the wasn't on the It couldn't be. How could a crazy old man have anything to do with an airplane crash? It's impossible, isn't it? Well, there wasn't. Well, what did that ticket that Moby had? I was sworn Moby didn't have any ticket except a plane ticket. We each had plane tickets. That was part of the deal, you see. All we had to do was call up and make our reservation whenever we wanted to get out of town. That's all the tickets we had. Doc and I got to talking about that a couple of days later.
Well, and any time who the old man was, not what he had to do with it all. But that you haven't been enough for me, Ernie.
What are you going to do?
Look, Larry, the plane ticket didn't cost me anything, you see. And regardless of whether the old ticket man had anything to do with it, I'm not going to ride on no airplane for nobody.
Yes, but what are you...
I'm going to take a bus to New York.
Bus?
Okay. But I'll think myself a $2. It was only one look. Nobody ever heard of a duck cracking up in the fire. And when I get to New York, I'll catch in the airplane ticket, and I'll get a few more dollars, I think. You come and go with me.
No, I was going to take the train.
Listen, Ernie. At any time whether Frank Gaffney's lads are on to us or not. But when they are, they'd be more likely to hang about the railway stations than about the bus terminal. You see.
Think you got something there, Jock?
Aye, I have. And another thing, Ernie. There'll be no nonsense to book tickets on our bus, too.
I wish I knew what that old guy...
Forget the old guy.
I wish I could forget him. I wish I could forget him right now. That's all I want of him. Who is he? What are those tickets? Let me tell you about Jock and me. We went down to the bus terminal. There was a bus to New York State. I remember what I did. I gave Doc all of my share of the money except a couple of $100. We were going to be together on a bus and he had the money, though. So if we were ahead from the go right now, I could lose it, I guess. Well, we're standing around the bus station down on Wabash Avenue waiting for the fellow to call ours. We were standing there just waiting and listening. And all of a sudden, it was one of those silences. And I heard something.
May I have your ticket, sir?
Where did you put that?
I came for your ticket, sir.
Not the ticket?
Your ticket. Please, I haven't got very long to wait.
I haven't got anything but my bus ticket.
Yes, you have. Look in your pocket.
Who are you, old man?
I want three tickets.
He hasn't got any tickets.
Yes, he has.
I haven't got
in your pocket.
Yeah, I haven't got it.
That's it. Thank you. I wish you a very pleasant journey, sir.
Now, wait a minute. I want to know who you are. What?
Goodbye, old man.
Listen, Doc, I'm going to find out about
you. Yeah, let him go.
Go.
Never mind where he went. Listen.
He crammed into the crowd.
Then go. We're going to talk to the old boy this time.
Well, what are you going
to... Listen. I think he knows what bus we're going on. I'm going to go shoot that ticket real fast. And we can connect him, see?
Yes, but what...
Look out and buy some cigarettes or something. And I'll go get the ticket, see? While he's watching you. Go on, beat it. Meet you here in 5 minutes.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all, but Josh has got a good idea, so I'll try it. He goes to the ticket window. I use my way through the door out into the street. And up in the shop. Cross up the street. Take a picture, won't he? And he arranged that airplane flight. He won't get Doc and me. I come out. I don't see an airplane. Doc, where'd you go?
Just silly to know that, Raymond.
Where did you come from?
I was watching your friend.
Where is he?
He's gone.
What?
He's gone, Fred.
Did he run out on me with all that money?
Oh, no.
Well, where is he?
You wouldn't really see him now, Fred. He had an accident.
He had what?
He fell in front of the bus over there. I'm afraid he's dead.
What are you telling me?
Well, it's quite all right, you know. I have him quickly.
Did you?
That gun won't do me any good.
You killed him.
Oh, no.
You killed him, I tell you.
Put up your gun, friend.
I shot him right through the chest twice. I was 6 inches away from him, and I couldn't miss at that distance, could I? I figured if he was one of the ghastly mob, he'd get me anyway, so I was going to go out with a bang. Right through the chest, I shot him. And you know what? He wasn't there at all. There wasn't anybody there at all, except a copper from Harrison Street, staring at me as if he thought I was a nut.
What are you shooting at, Bud?
That old man, I got him.
Not old man.
Now, take it, Dicker. He killed my friend. He's one of the ghastly mob.
Old man, you're talking about.
Where is he?
He's crazy or something, Bud. Shooting holes in the brick wall.
He was right here.
There ain't nobody there. Give me that gun.
He's got away. Listen, cop.
I'll have the gun, Bud. All right, you people, move on. Come on, Bud. It's 30 days for shooting off guns in public places. Why, you might have hurt somebody.
And they laughed when they left me out.
Am I crazy?
I don't know. I can hear anything. I know he was there when I shot, but I can hear anything. Nutty, listen. Listen, it's him. It's him, you hear him? That's the ticket taker. He's not going to get me. You have to have a ticket to get knocked off. And I haven't got any ticket. You're not going to get me, old man. I haven't got any ticket. I'm not going to answer it. There isn't anybody there.
Returns to the air. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.